Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. There's a lot of different people were born on this day. Ethan Allen was born on this day, and he's one of the early American heroes, a good friend of George Washington, leader of the Green Mountain Boys. And most people are completely unaware of what all he did during the American Revolution, which was one of the things he got captured and was put on a prison barge off the coast of Ireland for many years. He was a very famous historical character even back then at that time, so that many of the Irish were actually rowing out to see him while he was on the prison barge because he was an admired character. What was he doing? What was the Green Mountain Boys doing? They actually would sometimes go into a village that was starting up in their area, and they would usher all the people out of the homes and burn the homes down. And then they'd give them a lesson on government. Now, that sounds like something that would not make a guy very popular or famous, but they would help them build new homes, but on free land, on land that they could actually own. What was happening is a lot of people were settling for legal title to land. And, you know, they would get sponsored by rich men who claimed huge tracts of land, but it didn't do any good to claim it unless you put your foot on it. Well, they didn't have time to put their foot on it. So they hired other people to put their foot on it and offered them legal title to the land. Well, that's really great, except legal title to land does not include the beneficial interest, and therefore that land would be taxed. Americans, there was a portion of Americans who were trying to own land that could not be taxed. Almost 30% of the Americans were seeking to become the landed class, actually owning land in fee simple, untaxed by any government, because you actually owned the land. And this was what the American Revolution was really all about, was this right to own land as a freeman. If you look up in Oxford Dictionary today, the definition of a freeman is someone who actually owns land. Nobody in America does today. Everybody in America only has legal title. And if you want to know more about that, you'll have to go to hisholychurch.org and look up the book Covenants of the Gods and read the chapter Law versus Legal. Because we don't own land anymore. We don't have a right to the beneficial interest in the land that we do have. As a matter of fact, we're basically just renters, tenants upon the land. And all this has happened in the last 100 years or so, right underneath our noses, under the noses of the churches, who don't even realize that when Moses freed the people in Israel, they went to own land, to actually own the land in fee simple, or the milk and honey, the right to the beneficial interest of the land, the profits and gains of the land. People don't have that anymore because they've gone back into the bondage of Egypt, another topic which you will find discussed in the chapter Employee versus Enslaved, which most people are completely ignorant of. Ethan Allen was not. And Ethan Allen was trying to awaken people, but they've gone back to sleep. Now, another man was born on this day was John Fremont. He was an explorer, wanted to become president of the United States someday. And he discovered this valley out here in Summer Lake, and named it Summer Lake. And he was trying to become famous and popular so that he could become the president of the United States. On the same day, also Stonewall Jackson was born, who was a Confederate general who was trying to secede from the United States and not be a part of the United States. So there's been conflicts, and men of conflict been born throughout history on this day. Well, Kelly Savalas was also born on this day in 1927, and he asked a question consistently as one of the characters he played on TV, "Who loves you, baby?" And that question we're going to try to answer in the next 2.5 hours, first half hour on Blog Talk, and then the second half hour on LibertyRadioLive.com now. And we'll be on there for 2 hours discussing exactly what it is that we have forgotten since the days of Ethan Allen, and actually since the days of Jesus Christ. What was Moses doing, Jesus Christ doing, John the Baptist doing, even Abraham was doing, that are all in common that most Christians today are not doing? And if they had a little bit more knowledge, they might be doing But they have a difficulty getting that knowledge because very few people will tell them, and because they're under a strong delusion. They actually believe that the ministers in their churches who were on the job during the period of time that they went from a relatively free nation to an almost totally subject nation, and their ministers in churches hardly even noticed, hardly even mentioned it to them. Yet we see Moses setting people free from the exact bondage that everybody in America is in. They're comfortable in that bondage, or semi-comfortable. Of course, millions and millions and millions of people have lost their homes and lost their life savings, lost their businesses in the last few years, and millions more will probably lose their homes and their life savings and their job in the next few years. And all this is because Christians are not doing what Christ said. It's not because your political leaders, it's not because they aren't doing their job. They were elected to exercise authority one over the other. They were elected to rule over the people and force the people to contribute to the welfare of everybody else. Unfortunately, most people being greedy, they want more and more welfare. And the bankers, as we've seen recently with their bailouts, had a greater influence over your congressmen than you do. And so they received huge bailouts, none of which they needed. They were all going to retire with big boats and nice houses. That when their banks go bankrupt, they don't lose any money. They get to keep all their money. The bank loses its money. But the reality is most of the money that the banks owed didn't exist. They could have lost 90% of their assets. 90% of the people that had borrowed money from them could have failed to pay it back, and the bank still would have been solvent. That's the amazing thing, but that's what you get when you have a fractional reserve system, because they're mostly loaning out money that doesn't exist. They're loaning out based on a fractional reserve system. Most people are ignorant of that. They should know that if they were listening in good churches that was teaching them and in good schools that were teaching them exactly how the system they think is serving them works, but unfortunately they don't. So we eventually get around to explaining these things. You won't get it all in this half-hour show, but you will get an eye-opening examination of dominion and worship and what they have in common over the next 2.5 hours. And then again, later on this afternoon, we'll be on Freedomizer for the Sabbath Hour. We'll also be on, we'll try to be on several other calls through the day, congregations in Australia and in the Midwest. We'll be having talk shows, and if we can, we'll get on that. I actually have calls coming in from New York right after the show this morning. And then again, we have people visiting now, and we have more people coming from Connecticut tomorrow, if I remember my schedule. So we've got a pretty busy schedule, so let's get right into some of what this show is supposed to be about, dominion and worship and what they have in common. Well, during this week, in 1783, on Thursday, was the commemoration of William Pitt becoming the youngest Prime Minister of England at the young age of 24. Well, William Pitt was very sympathetic to the American cause, and he had said a number of things on behalf of America. He says, if I were an American, as I am an Englishman, while a foreign troop was landed in my country, I never would lay down my arms. Never, never, never. So that gives you an idea of how sympathetic he was for the American people. And when you hear some of his other philosophies, such as when he stated, unlimited power corrupts the possessor, he actually goes on to say, unlimited power is apt to corrupt the mind of those who possess it. And this I know, my Lord, that where law ends, tyranny begins. So where law ends, tyranny begins. That often happens. Now, recently I heard a fellow seeker of the truth talking about the Constitution of the United States and law, and does government, is the United States federal government usurping law? Is just doing anything it wants? Is it violating the contract of the Constitution? Actually, it's not. Things have changed. There is certainly violations of law constantly in any bureaucratic system where there's a great deal of power. There's always going to be abuse on an individual basis. But generally speaking, the Constitution does not rein in the present government as much as people would like to think. They pretty much get to do what they want within certain parameters, but the parameters are not within the Constitution, but within your power to contract. Because you have licensed your government with tremendous power, and most of that is because you have neglected your responsibilities. Now, you could rabble-rouse people very easily at Wall Street meetings and We the People meetings and Tea Party meetings by saying and pointing at the government as if the government is doing something bad and terrible and wicked, and we have to do something about those wicked and bad and terrible people. Well, the reality is, it's us. We're the problem. It's not the government that's the problem, and we shouldn't be picking on the government. We should be praying for those people in government so that they do better and act in a more righteous manner, certainly, but the problem is us. It's always been us, and that is not as a popular a message as what you see a lot of other people bringing to the people. They'll get cheers and they'll get standing ovations because they talk about how bad the government is. It's very hard to get standing ovations when you talk about how bad you are. And so we're the ones who bring the truth and tell you what you have neglected to do, what you have forgotten to do, what you don't aren't even being taught to do and should be taught to do in your local churches, which is how pure religion really works. And that is something that we also have an article up on that, actually a couple essays on religion. Only one place in the Bible does it talk about religion in a good sense, and they're talking about religion, pure religion, being the caring for the needy of your society, unspotted by the world, using a particular word that is defined in the concordances as constitutional order or system of government. Why is that? Because governments operate by force. That is what we call governments today, operate by the power of force. If they need money to take care of the needy, they will force you to contribute. Somebody sits in Congress thousands of miles away and decides you should give more money to the needy, and men come to your house and make sure that you give it, or you fear that they will come to your house, so you make sure you give it. That is not faith, hope, and charity. That is not the perfect law of liberty, and the more a society depends upon that kind of benefactor who exercises authority, the less free they will be, and that's why Jesus said, you are not to be like the men who call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority, because those men really are not benefactors. They are authoritarians. Now, do they have the right to take from you? Certainly. If you've signed up to any social welfare scheme that gives them the right to take from your neighbor to provide benefits for you, then they have a right to take from you to provide benefits from your neighbor. And as usual, you have more neighbors than there are of you. So therefore, they will take and take and take and take. And, of course, that's why the Bible forbids, warns against you electing leaders who can exercise authority. The more power you give your government, the more corrupt it will become. Unlimited power corrupts the possessor. That's what happened to Saul. Great guy, got too much power, became corrupt. No matter what you do, if you are not taking on the responsibilities of your society, you will have corrupt leaders. You should only create offices of service, and that is what the church is supposed to be. It is supposed to be taking care of the needs of the people. Another quote I have here, the poorest man may in his cottage bid defiance to all the forces of the crown. It may be frail, its roof may shake, the wind may blow through it. The storm may enter. The rain may enter. But the King of England cannot enter. All his forces dares not cross the threshold of that ruined tenement. Now that again was William Pitt. And that was in another time, because today we have seizures and break-ins all the time by government forces, and they can legally do that because you don't have dominion in your castle. It is not your castle. It is their castle. You do not have the right to the beneficial interest. You can't add a room onto it. You, in some places, you can't even paint it without permits. This is because you do not own your land. You do not have dominion. You do not have free dominion. You have a controlled dominion that is controlled by somebody else who actually has the right to decide for you what you will do on your land. So you're not free people. You are very much subject people. You have to ask permission to use your car. You have to ask permission to change your house. You have to ask permission to do almost everything. That is not a free people. You may be a comfortable people today, but of course millions and millions of people are becoming more and more uncomfortable because of the graft and corruption in government. And we, again, we're not pointing at government as the problem. We are the problem. And before we're done with this 2.5 hours, we will show you what you can do, what has been done many, many times in history, what Abraham preached, what Moses preached, what Jesus Christ preached, what the early church was doing, so that during the decline and fall of the Roman Empire that did all the same things we see being done today in modern governments all over the world, you could be prepared if your church was doing what that early church was doing. So, but first you have to realize that you're not a free people anymore. You're back in the bondage of Egypt. Bondage of Egypt, 20% of everything that people did, the work they did during a given year, belonged to the Pharaoh. And they had to work for the Pharaoh either by paying him directly or actually going and working on his projects. That's called a corvée, statutory labor, where a portion of your labor belongs to the government and must go to the government. That's the bondage of Egypt. All the gold and silver and the right to use it as lawful money was in the hands of the government in Egypt. That's the way it is today, and if your churches had told you about laws that were passed way back, H.J.R. 192, back in June 5th, 1930, and then in that law was repealed, but U.S. citizens cannot use gold and silver as money. They do trade it around, but they cannot actually purchase a lawful title with it. This is all on the books. It's in the law books. It's a reality. Matter of fact, you can't hardly do anything in this country anymore unless you're a member of their social welfare system. And that brings us to what Paul said, and even King David said, what should have been for your welfare has become a snare. It has brought you back into that bondage of Egypt where you don't pay just one-fifth. As it says in the Bible, you actually pay much more than one-fifth. And the men who call themselves benefactors can force you to pay and pay and pay. And they don't even have to give you benefits. As those of you who follow us on News with Views, the article, one of the last articles we wrote on social welfare systems show you that the law does not require that they provide you with any benefit whatsoever, but you still have to pay. Not a good position to be in. What that does is it creates an ineptocracy, which is a new word. It means a system of government where the least capable to lead are elected by the least capable of producing, and where the members of society least likely to sustain themselves or succeed are rewarded with goods and services paid for by the confiscated wealth of a diminishing number of producers. Basically, that is where all socialist governments go, and that's what America has become. Steadily, slowly, kind of the camel entered the tent, the nose of the camel gets in before you know it, the whole camel's in there. And, of course, that began with public schools. And we, as true Christians, should have never thought it was okay to covet our neighbor's goods and force them to contribute to our child's education through the power of the exercising authority of government. That's where it really began in America today, is this socialist state that we now have, and now it has spread out to healthcare and all these other things. And the reality is that good and moral people could have provided all those services through free will offerings if we had remained true to the commandments of God and the commandments of Christ. Christ said, if you want to have eternal life, you have to keep the commandments. Now, I know a lot of churches say you're saved by faith alone, and of course we are saved by faith, but faith without works is also dead, and it is required that we become doers of the word, and that is Christ's own words. But to become doers of the word, first we have to repent, turn around, and realize that we are making a mistake by looking to the government to provide all these welfare and benefits. Now, to move from that socialist state to a free state, it's going to take quite a bit of effort on the part of the people. While they're continuing to pay in on the demands of Pharaoh or the federal government or whatever government they're in, because we go out nation, not only nationwide, but all over the world. So whatever country you're in, you may still have to pay your Caesar, but you need to start providing for one another. Now, that's not a bad thing to ask you to do. And we show you how the first century church did that. We show you in the laws today in America and even in Australia and Canada. This is absolutely legal. This is pure religion to start taking care of one another. This is what you, when you went to church in the first century, you went to church to take care of those other members. You didn't go to church for what you would get out of it, hopefully. You went to church for what you could contribute to others. This is coming in the name of Christ. Because Christ didn't come for what he was going to get out of coming. He came for what he was going to be able to give. This is the Eucharist of Christ. To come and serve. That was his purpose. That was his way. That needs to be our way, to come and serve. So we see throughout history, this is the battle. And what's happened, and we can go to Frederick Bastiat, who wrote the law in 1850. He was a political economist, and he said, when plunder becomes a way of life for a corrupt, a way of life for a group of men, they create for themselves, in the course of time, a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. So this greatest nation in the world that provides welfare across the board, all across the country, to both foreigner and domestics alike, is actually the result of the fact that we thought it was okay to plunder our neighbors so that our children could have free education. Now, it's legal plunder. It isn't stealing. It is coveting. And a lot of people want to call taxation stealing. Taxation is not stealing. If you are a member, you owe that amount. Now, the problem is in a democracy, and the United States should be a republic in a democracy, but you've all joined the democracy within the republic, where you sit down and vote, people say, if you don't vote, then you can't complain. The reality of that statement is quite the reverse. If you do vote, you can't complain. Because you have decided to sit down with your neighbors and decide what your neighbor is going to keep and what he's going to have to give. And you have attempted to elect those men who would supposedly do what you want with your neighbor's goods. That participation makes you a member. You have to be a member to participate. And you're saying that whoever wins, he gets the pot. He gets to decide what I have to give and what I can keep. But you're also, usually people are deciding what their neighbor gets to keep. So as a participant, you become a part of whatever sin that elected official, whether he's your elected official or not, grants. What the early Christians were doing was learning to govern themselves, learning to take care of themselves. They said their king was Jesus. These are the ones who did contrary to the decrees of Caesar. They didn't disobey Caesar. They didn't have to obey Caesar. They had their own king, and their king's kingdom was not of his world, his constitutional order or system of government. It was a separate government, and that is what the church still is today. It's defined in the law as a government. That's right. In Black's Law Dictionary, the church is defined as one form of government established by Jesus Christ for his purposes. What was his purpose? To set you free, to save you from the bondage of Rome, to save you from the bondage of Egypt, to save you from the bondage of Babylon, all the same. Because he wants you to have free dominion. That's where God put us. This is our home, not heaven. This is our home. God has put us here and said, address it and keep it. To hold dominion, individually hold dominion on this planet. That is our job. This is our home. And to worship, what does worship have to do with dominion? And that we're going to have to explore in great detail on what used to be First Amendment Radio, but now we're on LibertyRadioLive.com. I hope I'm getting that right. And you can listen to us on the net, and we will be explaining why the fact that you have not been worshiping God in the manner in which the first century church worshiped God, in the manner in which Moses worshiped God, in the manner in which Abraham worshiped God, is why you no longer have dominion, where you no longer have freedom, where you have something posing as freedom, but it's a strong delusion. So, anyway, we're coming to an end of another blog talk. Hope we'll see you there on Liberty Radio Live. And if we do, we'll explain to you why dominion and worship go hand in hand.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.